trigger. Oh, Dan, it's been too long. I've been spending time in Scotland and Wales. I've missed you so, my friend.
I've missed you. Welcome back.
Welcome back is right. London, you are my city, and I beat you down.
You came back with an accent?
I came back with an accent. London was rough for me, but here I am, my friend. Episode 93. Let's go, Trigger. Yeah!
This is the Dan and Cody Podcast.
A toy boat. Toy boat.
The arsonist had oddly shaped feet.
This is the Dan and Cody Podcast.
Red leather, yellow leather.
Saddle up, partner.
You hear that? That's my lungs. They're getting filled with air. I'm happy to be back to the Dan and Cody Podcast. It's where I was birthed.
Dude.
It's where I was born and created. The ages of time came to me when I was in London. I saw the world. I experienced things I can't talk about.
You cut your teeth.
Cut my teeth, literally. I have really small, jagged teeth now, like the English. They're not straight.
Well, we are glad to have you. I'm sure I've alienated our audience enough with my two-hour-long guest podcast.
Hey, man, those podcasts were great. And actually, that reminds me, before we get too deep into this, I got to give a shout-out to Phil. And I got to give a shout-out to Tim.
And
thank
Joe.
You guys and Joe for coming and helping and covering while I was gone, because you guys were like lifesavers. You guys are funny guys. And I really appreciate it. Tim, I appreciate the poem.
Oh, yeah.
It was very sweet. little short, okay?
Sort of like you wrote it a couple minutes ago?
Like a couple minutes before, but honestly, it brought a tear to my eye and a smile to my heart, and I appreciate that.
How did you like my impressions of you?
That's actually one of my topic points. That's one of my topic points.
Yes.
Because I don't know when I started to sound like Barack Obama.
It's a lot of Obama with a sprinkle of like white bread.
Oh, really?
Croutons, if you will.
Okay, so it's kind of me, but it's not me at all, is what you're saying.
No, it's a caricature of you.
Okay.
That was more Nick Cage, I feel.
Yeah. Well, apparently I sound like Nick Cage, so.
Yeah, there it is.
That's me. Yeah, man. I heard that impression. I was like in an airport when you were actually. I think the first time I heard you say it, it was the episode you had Phil on.
Joe.
Yeah. I thought it was Phil.
It's Joe.
That's Joe?
That was Joe. Joe Merle.
See, that's the problem with podcasts. You hear these people's names. You don't understand it. So Joe was like, he's got that sexy voice, right? And I'm listening to it, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, and Cody'd be like this. This is how he'd respond. And then you do this like, duh, I'm Cody, duh, voice, right?
That isn't it at all.
Yeah, well, whatever.
It's science.
This is what it is. It's science, my friends. And what I'm in the airport, and I literally like, my head's down, and I put my head up, and I'm looking right across the way from somebody else sitting, you know, how the chairs kind of face each other when you're in a waiting airport.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell is that? Yeah, you know, this weird moment, but I was like, I'm going to kill that guy.
I'm sorry, man. Yeah. That's what happens when you go away. You can't leave me alone that long. It's like when you leave a dog for long, they like, they'll pee on the floor.
Uh-huh.
They'll take a little dump.
Well,
by your pillowcase.
If it means anything to you, I've never viewed you as a dog.
Well, a cat?
No, I'm not. Why would I view you as a cat? I despise cats.
I'm not a cat. I'm like a cat that you left who like poops on your pillowcase.
Again.
To let you know I'm upset that you weren't here.
But you are not a cat, man.
Right. I know I'm not a cat.
I don't view you as a cat. And your analogy to be a cat is not a thing.
I'm like an angry cat acting out.
Okay, you're an angry cat. You're like, okay, whispering like, willow
I'm
cat.
Scratching the walls.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You can't leave me alone that long.
Okay, well, I apologize I left you near a wall. And I apologize that your fingernails are disgusting, by the way. They're the longest thing that I've ever seen.
I'm doing that because I'm a hand model.
Yeah, well, good job.
Got to make some money.
You're figuring out a way to, you know, put food in Moxie's mouth and being a hand model sounds like it's one of them.
Yeah.
Figuratively and literally.
It's going down. So you went away.
Yeah, man. I was gone from like, I swear, I think I was gone from like the 12th to yesterday, which was the first or second, right? Today's the second.
Yeah, that's a long journey.
It's a long time. I was in Chicago for a week and a half. We're shooting our little movie. And then we went to London to shoot some interviews and go to the prop store auction.
Nice.
And, you know, I got to say, it's really interesting. We stayed like right down in downtown London. We were next to Waterloo Station, which is on the south side of the Thames. And
the Thames?
The Thames. And really interesting little space. Like literally, we could walk to Westminster Bridge. Like it was a block. We could walk to Westminster Bridge, and across the water was Westminster and Big Ben.
Mm.
So we were like in the place where tourists spend their time.
Yeah, you're in the thick of it right there.
Well, just so you know, you go down there and you go down like Piccadilly Circle and things like that. It's the weirdest place. So Mehran is a co-director on this project. Dan's directing as well.
He's a guest on the podcast.
He's been a guest on the podcast. He went with us, and he was kind of like my travel companion, right?
Yeah.
So we would go and we'd walk around London at night, and we went into some great place. We went to this place called Duke's, and Ian Fleming, the creator of James Bond, would go to this place.
Yeah.
And they make these martinis and they bring them out to you, and they're like super strong, but all the martinis are named after Bond villains.
What?
And it's in London's Soho district, which is really neat. The other thing that's really weird is when you walk down there and you walk in the areas where there's a lot of people, you're propositioned.
For sex? Or drugs?
Massage!
Oh.
It's super weird. Like, Mehran and I walk, and there's an Asian woman standing there, and she's like, massage! And you're like, you look at your watch, and you're like, it's like 10:30, lady.
What's that extra?
It's just this weird thing. It was a gag that Mehran and I would play every time. Like we'd be somewhere and we would just do that to each other. It was just a gag. It was fun. But that's how these women would sound. It'd be like, massage, you know, like some old creaky.
What?
And then you'd have how these much? Guys. I don't know. I didn't ask them.
Oh, I'd get into it.
Oh, really? I saw one guy actually trying to talk a woman down as we walked right by.
He's like,
how much? No, that's way too expensive. Like,
really?
Okay, sure.
I'd treat them like the Boy Scouts. You gotta hard sell me.
Tell me why I should take you versus the lady that's a block down the street that's doing the same thing.
Make me want massage.
It's such an interesting world. And then they have guys that are on the streets because Mehran and I were walking around on our own. So they're like, you guys need to get into a gentleman's club. You need to go do this. You need to do that. And we're like, no, man, we're okay. We appreciate it.
Are they all like British accents? So does it sound a little more proper?
Yeah,
you want to go to the gentleman's club?
You'd like to go to the gentleman's club tonight, sir. We'll get you taken care of. You know, guess who I saw? Michael Sheen and Jimmy, he's a comic.
Michael Sheen?
Michael Sheen. He was in Frost vs. Nixon. We passed him on the street. We were stuck at a stoplight. He was on one side of the road. We were on the other.
Frost vs. Nixon?
Yeah, you'll see him. When you see him, you'll know him. He was also in Passenger with Chris Pratt.
Didn't see that one.
Yeah, it wasn't that good.
Heard that was shite.
That was interesting. I had my first experience driving in England.
It's fucking crazy, isn't it?
It's the best thing ever, though.
No, man.
Yeah, man.
It freaked me out.
Freaked me out at first, but once I got comfortable, it is... I don't stop. There's no stop signs in England.
No.
It's all roundabouts, right? So you just keep going. You yield, and then there are a few stop lights, but there are... no stop signs that I experienced.
Here's the problem I had with it.
Yeah.
So like everybody, if you're in a car in England, you're driving on the right side of the car.
You're driving on the right side of the car.
You're driving what would be the passenger seat.
Yes.
So here's what happened to me when I was driving out there. Like you get comfortable, yes, but your brain starts to move you to the left of the car. Like I was getting so comfortable driving on the right that I thought that I was on the left. Like and then like I would start like almost swiping shit on my left.
On your left. Yeah, you lose because your passenger seat the passenger seat in England.
I'm thinking there's more car over here.
You think there's more, but there really it's a challenge. I did bump a bus.
You do bump to bus.
Like within the first 10 minutes of me driving.
Dude, it's, I think it was intense, harder.
But after that, I got really comfortable with it. I enjoyed it.
And on ramps, look, because you're driving on the left side of the road, on ramps look like exits. So I would always miss, my exit because it looked like an on ramp.
Yeah, like most people, when you're driving on the highway, you go as far to the left as you can to avoid people getting on and off the ramp, right? Mm-hmm. But in England, you actually go as far to the right as you can.
Yeah.
To avoid on and off because the exits are
the exits are on your left
side, which is interesting.
Yeah, so they'd always look like fucking exits.
Yeah, no.
And I'd be like, am I going to go the wrong way on this fucking highway? And I would miss like four exits.
Yeah.
And totally fuck myself.
I do have to say that that's a thing I've always wanted to do, so I can at least mark that off my list.
You did it. What kind of car did you drive? A Peugeot?
Santa Fe. Kia Santa Fe.
Oh, that's not...
SUV.
That's not intriguing.
No.
I drove a... I thought it was a Puigat. But it's Peugeot.
Peugeot. Fancy cars.
Yeah, man. How do you like the coins? There's so many coins.
Yeah, the coin, it's a bit excessive. I prefer cash.
I'm clinking all over my hands.
Yeah, exactly. My pants are like ting-a-linging all the time.
And you don't care about the pound, about the coin pound.
No, because you're so used to having like dimes and nickels.
Get this fucking change out of my pocket.
I just don't want the change. Yeah, exactly.
But then you're like, oh, dude, there's like 10 pounds in this pocket.
Absolutely.
So that was sort of a treat.
Yes, I would say that's a treat.
Is 2 pounds a coin there too?
Yes.
There's a 2 pound coin.
There's a 2 pound coin, and then you move into $5, 5 pounds, 10 pounds.
And their bills don't fit in our wallets.
They have big bills.
Yeah, you got to fold them up all weird.
Big bills, but.
Was it cold?
It was nice. It was like mid-60s. It was amazing. And wet. It was great.
It's getting wet.
Yeah. We ended up, we had some time to kill. We went out to Prop Store. And then we had some time to kill and we were trying to get into the Harry Potter experience because they left the sets from the Harry Potter movies that they filmed in London and they turned them into museums.
Right.
And people could go. But we didn't know that you had to like call ahead to do this. So we went. And when we were there...
You didn't call ahead.
We didn't call ahead, Dad, Governor. When we were there, we didn't end up...
Sorry.
We didn't end up going because they were sold out. So we went to this small little town, and I got Madeline a gift. I got her a little trinket for her. She has this printer's cabinet that we put on the wall, and she's got little items. So I got her a little bear. And it's like pure silver. It's beautiful. And then I got her a necklace. But we went into this old jewelry location. It's called Jackson Jewelers.
Right there?
Yep. And after we purchased the stuff, Mehran and I, we walked out. And the owner of the establishment came out. And he started talking to us. And we started having a friendly conversation. And he told us he is the fourth generation to own this jewelry shop. And I'm like, wow, that's insane. Fourth generation, his great grandfather ran the place.
Damn.
So that means great grandfather, it's 2017. It's likely his great grandfather was running it at the turn of last century.
Yeah.
You think about that, that's insane. It was just like, holy cow, that's amazing. We had this whole story, but anyway.
Did you guys drink beers after that?
Like,
let's drink a beer because of it.
No, we didn't. He was a dapper man. He was dapper.
Did you get into the boozing while you're out there?
We had a couple nights where I had some drinks. You know, we did have those strong martinis at Duke's.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I kept myself pretty.
You can get impressed. A pint.
There was one night where I got pretty drunk, and I was just like, okay, this is too much, and then I was hungover the next day.
You gotta get a pint.
Yeah.
Gotta get a pint.
Yeah, I mean, we had some beers. You know.
But did you drink the warm beer that comes straight out warm?
No, I didn't have any warm beer.
I did some warm beer out there.
I bet.
Yeah.
Probably got a lot of warm beer out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That going out there put me on a Guinness. I was drinking a lot of Guinnesses.
Yeah, it's out there.
I like Guinness.
But London's a beautiful town. If anybody is interested in visiting it, check it out. It's a really expensive place.
Yeah.
London's a really expensive place, and you have to have money to be there, it feels like. We did go into a casino, because I love me some blackjack.
They have casinos?
In London. Like, in down, like, Yes. That's where these people were propositioning us, because we went into that casino.
And there's so much smoking still.
Everybody smokes. Everybody's on the street smoking. It's like smoking all the time.
It's not a lot of smoking in the States anymore.
No, but in London, it's like it's heavy.
Yeah, they just... Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, true crime fans, have you listened to Wine and Crime yet?
We're a true crime comedy podcast hosted by three childhood friends who chug wine, chat true crime, and unleash our worst Minnesotan accents.
Each week, us gals pick a true crime topic and pair it with a delicious wine before delving into the background and psychology behind the crime.
Then we share and speculate wildly about a couple of bonkers cases related to the topic.
Past episodes include necrophilia, cults, crimes of passion, cruise ship disappearances, exorcisms gone wrong, all this over a bottle of wine, or, let's be real, three.
Listen anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Wine and Crime Pod, and check out our website and blog at wineandcrimepodcast.com.
Cheers!
I was either talking to Joe or Tim about how my wrestling coach used to tell us all to look in the mirror three times a day and say, I'm a champion. To like, you start to like believe that shit. And, okay. And you start to get like, start to get amped and pumped up about that.
Being a champion.
Yeah. Joe started doing it.
When?
And it's working.
When?
You just, random times during the day.
I'm a champion, I'm a champion, I'm a champion.
Yeah, you go to the mirror.
Uh-huh.
Three separate times during the day.
Uh-huh.
And you look in the mirror and you tell yourself, I am a champion.
You can say
anything. You can say, I am.
What if you say red rum?
Yeah, you could do that.
And then the evil beast comes out of the mirror and kills people.
Well, you could start acting like a serial killer then.
That's right.
Probably. Well, yeah. If you really want to be a serial killer, that's probably what you would choose to say
in the mirror. I'm a red rum champion to be the best serial killer?
No, you would rework it. You'd restructure
what you are. I'm a champion red rum.
You don't necessarily have to say champion.
Like, yeah, but
champion,
like,
worked because we were wrestling. So like it in today, if I were to like switch that, like I could be like, I am a podcaster. Or like, I am an artist. And you say that over and over again three times a day forever. Then you will be it. You will be it. It'll be in your head.
I like that. That's interesting.
Joe's our guinea pig.
And it's working for Joe.
I think so.
Joe, I'd like you to do me a favor. I'd like you to create a video of you doing this in the mirror.
But say you're... The message needs to be positive. You don't want to be in there in the mirror saying, like, I'm a dumbass three times a day. Don't just say anything.
Say what you want to be and be it.
Yeah. Say what you want to be... Yeah, say what you are, you know?
Champion.
You are a champion.
Red rum champion.
Red rum champion. I'm back in soccer, back doing indoor.
Oh, you're playing?
Playing again, getting it in. I already scored two goals this season.
It's pretty good, man.
I'm handling biz.
That's good, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Is it, though?
Yeah, it's solid.
Like,
I'm a defender.
Oh, you're a defender. Okay.
And I'm scoring.
Like, you're scoring, you're a defender and you're scoring? It sounds like you're not following the rules.
No, it's not rules. I'm picking up. I'm doing, like, because in indoor, like, your defense, like, immediately becomes offense if you gain the ball back. So, like, you're like, facilitating. You're basically doing a lot.
Wow.
But the thing is, it's co-ed. Have you ever done co-ed sports?
Yeah, I have. But let's just be clear on the whole co-ed thing. When you're telling me it's co-ed, you mean to tell me that all the other players are girls and you're the only guy?
No.
Oh.
Like, I think you have to have three girls at all times on the field.
On the field.
Mm-hmm.
So you got some good girls on your team?
Yeah. No, my team's solid. Yeah, okay. We got good girls.
You guys
girls.
Winning?
No, we're not winning. But, like, we're solid. Okay. We none of us know each other. We haven't been playing that long. So, like, we're going to get it worked out.
Okay.
But,
is this all in Canyon Country?
Yeah, Santa Clarita Soccer Center. Big ups.
Big ups to...
You want to play? You want to see me? Come out there.
See SCSC. Check it out.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's hard playing co-ed.
Okay.
For example, if you... There's this fine line of like either you're too aggressive or you're too lax.
Okay.
Like there's some, you have to be somewhere in the middle of like, this is play, but we're serious.
Okay.
But you know, when you're playing against other women, when you're playing against women, sometimes like she's going full force. She's after it.
But you are physically naturally stronger. So, and you're bigger.
Right.
More than likely.
So
you can't push her down.
Exactly. Right.
Because you could.
Yeah,
so
I could.
You have to watch your own man strength.
Right. So I'm not saying I'm this like brooding force or anything and like no woman can is better than me at soccer. I'm saying the people that I play against in this specific league
are better than you.
Are like I could physically annihilate one of these girls. It could just happen.
Yeah.
So I have to play off.
Okay.
And like a guy on my team, he, you know, she's going hard. So he's playing hard. She falls over. Girl falls over. She gets up. She's like, what the fuck? And she's like, stop being such a dick. And he's like, I'm not being a... I'm playing the game, which he was. He's just playing the game.
Yeah.
But it's... I mean, I've played...
It's a fine line you have to walk when you're co-edding it.
Right. But it's... I just think it's so funny that, like, she can go hard. She can elbow... She can kick me in the nuts. She can kick him in the nuts. She can like just wrestle around in there.
Is this girl running around just kicking all the players in the nuts? Like that's just what she does?
She can get away with it.
Yeah.
Like they're not going to blow. No one's going to blow a whistle if a girl is pushing me up against a wall in this league. But he does one thing. She hits the deck. Hey, man, that's a girl. And it's like, well, I thought we were playing co-ed. I thought we're going hard. I thought we're all doing this. You know? It's like in kickball. I played kickball in the Hollywood League, and like, if you throw a, like, you have to throw people out in there. So you take the ball and you throw it at people.
Yeah, that's how kickball works.
Right, but if you...
Or kickball, dodgeball. Well, I guess kickball because they're running bases.
Right, yeah. But if you throw the ball hard, hit this girl in the back and she falls over and cries, everyone looks at you like, hey man, relax, we're playing kickball.
Why are you getting so pissed? I'm a competitor.
Yeah.
I'm a champion.
It's... Hey, I looked in the mirror four times today.
I am a champion today and every day. Are you?
But like, if you're losing badly,
yes,
and the other team's just kicking your ass,
yes,
that team immediately, the losing team immediately takes this stance of like, guys, it's just rec, it's rec league. But like, if it was 1-1. You'd both be going hard as hell.
Yeah, and it's just like, yeah, it is just rec. But I don't play rec sports to not be a champion.
Yeah, we're playing to win. We're
you
playing to exercise.
Play to win. What kind of clown? Like,
yeah,
you slap that guy.
And then if you're going hard after
By the way, I'm that guy that says that.
You're the guy?
I'm like, guys, it's just a rec sport. It's just rec.
But then it's like, dude, why are you here? Like, I play sports to go hard. And if it's 0-0 and like we're working hard and we score a goal and we celebrate... It's like, and that other team is like, guys, it's rec. It's like, dude, fuck you. You're just mad you're losing. You're mad you got scored on.
Yeah.
And so now you're trying to discredit us by saying that this is some bullshit.
Yeah.
But you're playing. Have you been on co-ed teams?
Never. I don't play sports. I do have to say, when people ask me to describe Dan Hill, there's always a sense of pride that kicks in when
you
I get a
single
describe
tier?
It because... What I tell people is I say, Dan Hill is like a no fear shirt. he doesn't quit.
No
he's
fear.
A champion and he's got fists of stone. So
I compete at the highest level.
He competes at the highest level at all times. So
right.
Be prepared. While he's doing that, I'm just saying, hey man, it's a rec game, bro.
It's a rec game, bro.
It's a rec game, bro.
But look, I'm here to exercise, but I'm also here to kick ass. Like, I want to win. Winning is fun.
I want to win. Winning is fun.
It's
winning the Dan Hill memoirs.
It's the closest. I mean, it's the closest thing to like being a pro that, you know, I'll get to.
It's competition. Like, I think
it's healthy.
People naturally kind of, they play sports for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played with a guy though who was an animal. Like he would hurt you. And that'd be the guy that I'd be like, dude, this wreck sports.
Like, that's the one time you say it. It's because he's too big.
No, he's.
It's because you're the girl in this scenario.
No, he. This
are you
dude.
Sure? Why
he,
you being an asshole, man?
He was on my team and he would get red cards like every game just for hurting people. And I'm like, dude, he's got to go to work tomorrow. Like, you're
not
trying to fight.
Not the knees, bro. Not the
knees.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you're trying to fight these people? Like, we got jobs.
Yeah.
Like, I got to drive a truck sometimes and lift things.
Yeah.
Relax.
That's crazy.
Like, he's trying to, like, you guys got my back? No, man.
No, man. I don't. No.
I got to go home.
Yeah. I don't have time to have your back. I got to go to bed.
Yeah. What? This is a group fight?
What an idiot.
Not getting paid for this.
What an idiot, man. It's just rec sports.
Yeah. Whatever that was, I like it.
Well, this is getting out of hand. Michael leaves and we get this. Absolutely mind-boggling.
Is it your ringtone or something?
Ringtone? No, Dan. I'm all vibrate.
Oh, right. Yeah. You're a vibrate guy.
Yeah, well, you're a ringtone guy, okay? And you've been hallucinating for 3 episodes.
But you heard it too.
Heard what?
Do you have a topic, man? Come on.
You know, I'm browsing the webs, as I do, and I came across, I'm on Facebook, and you're getting all these news feeds, right? And people are posting stuff. And so I come across the headline. And the headline is, FBI seizes over 3,000 penises during raid at morgue employee's home. 3,000 penises at morgue employee's home. So I click on this.
3,000 dicks.
Yeah, 3,000 dicks. The article states that the FBI suspected 54-year-old Dave Murray, an employee of the Harris County Morgue, which is in South Carolina, says he finds this. FBI told that the number of charges could reach over 3,000 because of each crime. A total of 53 criminal charges have already been filed against this guy. So I read this.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear that, you're like, holy shit, 3,000 penises.
It's a lot.
That's a lot.
That could fill a refrigerator.
That is so many dicks, right? The thing that I have an issue with is this guy is in South Carolina, and how many penises do you think one man has seen that are dead? How long would it take you to see and cut off 3,000 penises?
I mean, you gotta think like the death toll in South Carolina, like on a yearly basis.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a Houston mortician. I apologize. So Houston, maybe. How many years do you think it would take you to cut off that many penises?
15 years?
15
career?
Years.
Career? 20 years?
It'd take you that long.
Right?
And then one day somebody has to catch you in the act of cutting this off. And you're telling me you think it would take 15 years before somebody caught you in the act of being the assistant to a mortician of cutting off a man's D and nobody's ever noticed it?
And he's just collecting all the dicks?
All the dicks. Now, here's the rub. Get it? Here's the rub. It's fake.
It's a fake article?
It's a fake news story.
Really?
So I saw this article, I read it, and I thought to myself, this seems weird. This doesn't seem right. They have quotes in the news article of saying, there were shelves everywhere filled with hundreds of glass jars, each of them containing a penis floating in formalin. So, and he said he was collecting them for more than 10 years. So this is completely fake, this news article is.
What?
Absolutely phony. People had taken it and posted it online, and it was turned out to be a completely false.
Did you Snopes it?
What's that?
Did you use Snopes?
I didn't use Snopes. I just looked into, like, is this true? Is there any other news? If this was something that was real, it would be on major news because it's so odd.
It's like serial. Killer.
And it wasn't on any major news and it was on this, the website that I saw it through was World News Daily Report, which sounds bogus to
clickbait.
Me. Anyway,
I mean, if that story were true, the real loser there is the person who had to count the dicks.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you got to keep track.
Well, it looks like we have 3,157 penises here, all in various sizes, all of them in jars.
Yeah. Did you count the closet? Ah, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, man, there's another 700 of them
in
there.
I got to count all these dicks
all
more.
Labeled. Anyway.
So it's fake?
So it's a completely false story.
Womp, fake. Womp. Well, that's a fake true crime. You want a real true crime? Indiana couple admits to stealing over $1 million worth of electronics from Amazon. You know how they did it?
How?
Indiana couple, they pled guilty. Charges on federal mail fraud and money laundering resulting from an elaborate plot that fleeced Amazon out of over $1.2 million in merchandise. Here's what they were doing. Aaron and Leah, they did this scheme where they created like all of these accounts for Amazon.
Okay.
They'd order like GoPros and cell phones and shit and like TVs.
Okay.
They'd get them and then they would say they're broken.
When they got them.
When they got them, yeah.
Okay.
So a lot of the time what Amazon just does is... like the claim on a damage or not working, they send a replacement before you ship them back.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of one of the things that like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. They wouldn't ship them back. They wouldn't ship back the bad item. So then they get two that are working. They'd close that account. They'd sell it to this guy who then flips it, launders the money, gives them back 75%.
Wow, that's a real.
But like $1.2 million in goods, and they were just golden up until now.
It's a lot of TVs.
Yeah, they were charged in May with federal mail fraud because
you're interstate. If you're running interstate, it ends up becoming a federal crime.
And you're abusing the mail.
Yeah.
So like. A federal offense is fucking bad. That's bad news. So they're pleading guilty, and the couple will have to pay back Amazon $1,218,000 and $218,504.
They're not going to pay back shit.
Yeah, or...
It's going to be one of those lifelong things where it's like, oh, sure, we'll pay you back, but probably not. You're going to be out of your money.
Yeah.
Too bad, Amazon.
Then they face up to 20 years in jail.
I can see them getting the time.
Yeah.
That's pretty smart, though.
I mean, the other thing is...
Like, these are entrepreneurs.
They got $1.2 million. Yo, quit. Stop doing it.
That's too easy.
Get half a mil and peace.
Yeah, but, you know, people aren't greedy. That way. Everybody wants more than they can chew, you know?
These girls got greedy.
Yeah, they did.
That shit happened to me before.
You stole from Amazon?
I didn't steal from Amazon. Here's what happened. I ordered a sound system from a TV.
Okay.
It came and it was all like fucked up. Like there was like shit on it.
It was broken.
It was dirty. It was dirty stuff.
It was dirty.
Yeah, and like the tape was like there was like, you know, like design was peeling off of it. And it was a private seller, but it was shipped via Prime. So I don't know how that works.
Well, if you're a private seller, you have an agreement with Amazon that if you meet certain requirements, you can sell via Prime, and then what that does is it bumps you up in the queue as to somebody that as a particular seller.
Right.
So if you do Prime, you're just more likely to sell stuff. However, you probably I don't know how it works in like reimbursing you for
right.
for shipping stuff because I know that's an expensive process.
Yeah. Well, I got this thing and like I was upset as to how it was packaged like shit. Like there was like a strip of bubble wrap on it, fucking up everything. It arrived in this like podunk bullshit box and I was just upset about that. So I reach out to the seller, and I was like, this is bullshit, man. Like, I don't want this. Send it back. And he was like, no, you got what you paid for. That's it. And so I plug it in, and it had like a like hissing, like it was like fucked up.
It was
up.
Making noise when you're plugging in.
Yeah,
it was a defective product by the
way. Right. So then I issued a formal complaint through Amazon. I was like, this thing is not what I bought. This is bullshit. It's broken. Yada yada yada. There was still pushback from the seller, and then so like we couldn't come to an agreement. So like it goes to like Double Dare, like Amazon.
Amazon becomes your mediator, and they take care of the problem.
Right. So Amazon was like ruled in favor of me, refunded me, and that's it. There was no. There was like, don't return it. Don't.
They said that to you. Don't return it.
Yeah, they're like, this is done. And then like, I messed with the cable a little bit. No more hiss.
Criminal.
I mean, hey.
More power to you.
It's under my TV right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Good for you, you Amazon thief.
Whoop, whoop. Now the cops
are coming to your house. Sorry, we're the Amazon police.
Sorry, guys.
Jeff Bezos sent me, and he's going to be sending a drone to pick you up and take you into Amazon prison.
But in my defense, it arrived fucked up. I should not have been. Nah. Not cool.
For what you paid.
For what I paid.
They took advantage of you.
They sure did, Cody. They sure as shit did.
Saudi King, Saudi Arabia, right? Signs a UN charter back in, I think it was like 1948 or something, with the United Nations, which helped designate some people into certain places, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Saudi Arabia's Undersecretary for Educational Curriculum Programs has recently been fired. And he was fired because what he ended up doing was ridiculous. In some of the textbooks in Saudi Arabia, they've taken a picture of the Saudi king sitting down signing these documents at the United Nations, and sitting right next to him is Yoda.
What?
They photoshopped Yoda into this picture, into all of these Saudi history books.
And they're like real history books?
Yes, they're real history books for this Arab country. What? So, apparently, and I'll send this link to Dan, but it's really great. They ended up putting it on Twitter and all of this stuff. But apparently, in 1945, the Saudi king signed this charter. And in that same photo where he is signing the charter, to the right of him is sitting none other than Yoda.
Master Yoda.
Master Yoda is sitting right there.
And is it a gag, or is it just like, we're going to put this in this book because it's important?
No, he did it. The reason he said he did this... the reason he said he did this, he said he meant no offense to the king, okay?
Because you get beheaded up in Saudi Arabia.
You get beheaded for things like this. Like, this isn't like a...
This is no bullshit.
Like, he only got fired. So somebody was in a good mood, or they thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Originally, this undersecretary's intent was to pair the late king, who is a popular Saudi historical figure, with someone who matched his wisdom and charisma. So apparently this Saudi
what
king
could be
had
better
this...
than Yoda.
It's not even some other historical figure. It's not like they're sitting him next to, like, I don't know.
Could Lucasfilm get some money out of that, or like cease and desist?
Yeah, probably. They ended up canceling these books, and they ended up reordering new ones anyway.
Oh, but like you're using my IP.
Well, it's funny. He's like approving these things, but at the same time, like, you have editors for these things. Editors are going to look at this.
Like, nobody saw Yoda.
He's the guy at the top and said, "Yeah, this looks good. I like what you did here with Yoda. Print them up, send them out to all the schools, eh?"
Dude, and just knowing that, like, I live in a place where I can get my head chopped off.
Yeah, for like
that's
even
ballsy.
Doing that.
That's fucking ballsy.
If you had a photo of yourself and you wanted it, like, say you're signing some important document,
mm-hmm.
like, who do you feel would define you?
Dwayne. Or Vin.
Really?
I'd get both of them side by side next to me.
Right next to you, like, they're your crew?
Yeah.
These are the people that are going to, like, help you make these important life decisions?
Yeah. I bet these are my guys. This is my squad.
By the way, I was on the airplane flying to London from Chicago.
Tell me one of them.
I put on Baywatch.
Yes.
I shut it off after 5 minutes.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. I wish I would kid, but it was so terrible, Dan.
Bruh.
It was unwatchable terrible.
Ah.
It was so bad.
The eye candy, though.
I don't care about eye candy.
You can get through that thing.
I prefer still images with eye candy that I'm not really a fan of the language.
You read the articles?
No, I said still images, you bonehead.
But look, like, you can get through that movie just on visuals. Like,
no, you can't.
Efron, he looks like Adonis. He looks like Adonis. He is an athletic specimen.
No.
Dwayne, athletic specimen. Like, you could just marvel at, like, how strong they are.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah, because that's what I like to do. I like to marvel at how strong men are.
Marvel. Bask in it. Get in there.
Yeah.
And then all those women. Whoo!
Dan, so everybody knows that this important document is that Dan would sign this photo that he would end up having Vin Diesel and Dwayne The Rock Johnson right next to him.
Yeah.
This important document would be how I am a champion.
Yeah.
And then it's Dan basically writing out the terms to his new charter.
That's it.
And then he signs it. And then Vin looks over at Dwayne. Dwayne looks over at Vin. They both put their heads down in agreement. And they look at Dan, pat him on the back, and they say,
triple kiss.
Well, I was going to say you're a champion, but that works too.
I'm a champion.
You wanted to go for a triple kiss.
I would triple kiss those guys. Fuck it. Just for the
a triple kiss. God, I don't know. I haven't heard of a triple kiss since I was 21
years
old.
That was like the spring break move for a while.
Yeah, I remember. Like, I don't remember
the
triple kiss.
What could be better? I don't know. It's all triple kiss.
It's triple kiss. That's not weird.
It was just sort of like, if it happens, this is great.
We don't have to tell people or we don't have anything to hide. It's a triple kiss.
It's just triple kiss.
Triple kiss. It's the DVDA of like mouth-to-mouth kissing.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
It's how colds are spread.
Yeah, it's how colds are spread, yes.
Cold sores.
Everything. Did you see the news about, like, how the United States is crazy out of control with STDs?
Really?
Yeah, it's huge. It's out of control. Syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia, out of control in the United States right now.
Again?
Like, I don't know about again, but it's like...
I know syphilis was big time in Baltimore.
Really?
It was, like, number one.
It's a big deal right now. It's a big deal. Like, Mayron and I were having this conversation in the room, and his question was, what happens to you if you contract these diseases? You know, syphilis, you can die.
You can go crazy,
and you can die.
Al Capone.
You can die from syphilis. With chlamydia, not for men, it's not really that big of a deal.
It
is bad. The old clap, it can end up causing you to, like, pee blood and stuff, I believe. Look up the CDC stuff on gonorrhea and chlamydia. I'll look up chlamydia.
Is gonorrhea the clap or is chlamydia the clap?
Oh, what is the clap? That's what I just typed into Google. And the clap is, this is, when
gonorrhea.
I typed in the clap, they just defined clap for me, but it's gonorrhea.
Gonorrhea is the clap.
Yeah. Gonorrhea can make you sterile. And apparently, there are certain places in the world where right now there is a superbug, gonorrhea, that they cannot cure.
Really?
Yeah. There's no drug powerful enough to kill it. Your body has to just try and fight off the infection all on its own.
But most gonorrhea and syphilis, like, you can get rid of. Those are curable, right?
Yeah. Syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia are all... bacterial infections, and then they can give you antibiotics to treat it. But the problem with antibiotics is that as you take antibiotics, what happens is that these diseases actually build up immunities to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's happened is since we've been treating these diseases for such a long time with these antibodies...
They're hooking up with people and giving them, like, super...
This bacteria is learning how to fight it off, how to fight off what was killing it. So it's building up proteins to protect it from these antibiotics.
Ugh.
So that's what turns these into superbugs.
Aren't you glad you're married?
I am, man. I'm absolutely glad I'm married.
hearing about that shit, I'm like, I'm out the game.
Like, man, when you're like in your mid-20s, like every person you've ever been with, you think, well, I probably got something.
Yeah.
Yep, I've got something. Guaranteed. I've got something.
And then you see them on Facebook and they got a baby or something. You're like, woo! Yes!
I'm clean.
All right.
That was all right. That was a questionable one. She was questionable.
She just got married, had a baby. Sweet!
So she's either sharing or everybody's okay.
Yep.
So,
oh, love it.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah, yeah. Dangerous place. But anyway, just side note, these diseases are rampant in the United States.
Guys,
protect yourself.
Wrap it up.
Watch yourselves. Your thing could fall off.
Yeah. And like, I think it's very it's an undersell, if that's even the right word, about like the term curable. Like, yeah, syphilis is curable. But what do you got to go through to cure it?
I think it's like a week of antibiotics.
But like, there's shit where like they got to burn that stuff off of you.
They have to burn. They don't burn syphilis off of you though.
And then like oh, you can live with herpes and shit. Yeah, but like the blisters.
Do you want to live with herpes? Yeah,
the oozing. Like
you can live with all kinds of STDs, but you don't.
Right.
Because you got to be smarter than that. There's protect yourself. Watch out.
My sister had a friend who worked at a clinic, and like she was like, yeah, like they're curable, but like you got to burn stuff off sometimes.
No, that's terrible.
Like it's fucked. Like it's not good. Nobody's, not good.
Don't.
And a lot of them are like, you get one, chances are you got a couple.
Yeah, it's very. Like whenever you have any one of these diseases, that's one of the interesting things about these three.
It's a package deal.
If you get these three, what happens is it makes you much more susceptible to other STDs, and it's a lot easier for you to get them.
Mm-hmm.
So, protect yourself. Watch out there. Know who you're with, and you know.
But hey, have fun.
Yeah, believe in yourselves.
Go knock your socks off.
Yeah, treatable medical professionals. I want to tell you about a company called JC Room Blocks. Do you have 10 or more out-of-town guests coming to an event near you? Maybe you have a bris, a wedding, a family reunion, a science convention. Maybe some friends are coming in town and they just want to get drunk in one place. Or your mom's coming into town and she's got 10 brothers and sisters and they need a room so they can all come over to your house and have a bagel. Well, I have the answer for you. JC Room Blocks, they research hotels in the area that you need the rooms. So if you're in San Diego, they're going to find those rooms. They're going to put them together for you. Oh, what? You need to be in Boston for a little bit? No big deal. Go over to Boston and hang out with your Boston friends. You got 10 or 15 of them and you need a room? Fucking Boston. That's what you're going to do. Since they're certified travel agents, they can get you the lowest possible rates. On top of discounted rates, they can also negotiate highly discounted bridal suites, shuttle service, and food and beverage functions. If you mention the Dan and Cody podcast, that's us, they'll waive their fee. That means you don't pay anything. Okay? Check them out, jcroomblocks.com. I'm going to repeat that, jcroomblocks.com. They're on Facebook, they're on Twitter and Instagram. Follow them, check them out, get all them rooms!
Simple Cash rolled out that statistics map.
Yeah, I saw that for like only 3 weeks.
Right now, yeah, because it's in the beta version.
Yes.
But now we can shout out towns that we're getting downloads at. You know, like now we know where you guys are.
Kind of. We don't know exactly how correct that is, but we'll tell you what. Japan, loving the Dan and Cody podcast.
Oh, they're into it. They're a number two country. What's up, Japan?
Japan.
I want to say what's up to my people in Ontario, California. What's up, guys?
Yeah, we got those Ontarians. We got some people down in Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Yeah.
Don't know why we have that many people listening to us there, but we appreciate it and we love it.
We love you. 5 downloads in Canyon Country. That's me.
That's Dan. We obviously, LA's, you know, a hotbed of Dan and Cody fans.
Yep.
Anyway, thanks for listening, guys, on that. We appreciate it.
Let's pick like 2 more random cities to say hi to.
Okay. You want 2 more? I got a good one. Here's a really good one. Woodside, New York. We had one download from you. Appreciate it.
Woodside?
Woodside, New York.
Woodside, stand up!
And then in Warren, Ohio, we had three downloads.
Warren?
Warren, Ohio.
I wonder who that could be.
I don't know. Did we get anybody in Cleveland? No, damn.
Is that some ish in Warren, Ohio?
Is it Warren? Is that where our ish girls are?
What's up, ish girls?
Erie, Pennsylvania. Two downies.
Erie?
Erie, like Erie, Indiana. You remember Erie, Indiana?
Dude, Missouri is blowing up.
Well, Missouri's probably, what do we got? Well, Missouri and Kansas, you know, we got some Madeline Ross family, friends, all that jazz.
Rochester, New York, stand up.
Hova.
What's up, y'all?
We got all these great, great fans.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we sure do.
This week, today, actually, after you finish listening to this, go listen to More Gooder Than. I may or may not be on that thing.
Dan's going to be on More Gooder Than. He's going to tell you about some things he's been having issues with. These are some of the deepest, darkest secrets that he won't even reveal on the Dan and Cody podcast.
I won't. I had to go to another podcast to really let this out.
He had to talk to some professional people. And the guys over at More Gooder Than, they're as professional as they get.
Chris, Corey, Donnie, thank you guys for having me.
CCD was there to help my boy.
Yes.
DH.
Help us solve a problem of what's a better movie, Alien or Predator. What do you think?
I want Chewie to have his own movie where he ends up fighting both of those two and kills the shit out of him.
Predator beats Alien any day.
Sure.
Like, in an actual fight, in an Alien versus Predator.
Yeah, because Predator's
fucking
like
shoulder cannon.
Predator's like man alien versus, like, the problem that I have with Predator is they're just like dogs.
Yeah. Well, they're smart. They're hunters. They're hunters.
Yeah, but they're not like tool builders. All they want to do is like use their spit and their acidic blood.
Oh, aliens. Yeah. You said predators.
No, I'm saying predators will always win because aliens are like animals.
Right. They just want to procreate. But they got a real roundabout way of procreating. That whole why don't you just cut out the middleman with this egg laying and face hugger and
just deal with it.
Yeah, just deal with it. So check out More Gooder Than. It's called the More Gooder Than podcast. Check them out. Listen to that episode. It's fun. I had a really good time with those guys. And if you haven't, check out the Brain Trust Bros. I'm going to be on that one. I'm on that one. That one's available right now. The Brain Trust Bros.
Give it a listen. Rhett'll make your ears bleed with pleasure.
And part two of that, Cody's going to be on it. He's doing a two-parter. My sister has a book, and it's like an intricate like horoscope book.
She wrote it?
No. She owns it.
Okay.
It's like as thick as like the Neverending Story book.
I love that book.
It's huge.
As you read it, does it write itself? Do you fall into it?
Sort of.
Really?
You sort of do.
What's the name of the book?
I don't know if I can see it. She sent me a screenshot because what I'm setting up here is it's a horoscope book, but it's also like horoscope relationship book. So like you can go and search for a birthday.
So if you're like an Aries,
right,
and you are married or dating a Sagittarius,
right,
then you can discuss that.
Yeah. It has a long paragraph of like breaking down your relationship.
Okay.
So I was missing you, man, while we were gone.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, Sarah, I want you to look up this birthday and this birthday and then send me a picture of what it is, like the breakdown.
Okay.
So this like describes our relationship.
Oh,
and
okay.
I don't know if it's right. Well, it's like kind of spot on at places.
Yeah, because these things are written to be general as hell, Dan.
You both like pizza. Well, yes.
Yes, of course, because I'm a human being.
Let me read this for you.
Unless it gets into the specifics and how I don't care for cats, then I imagine it's probably pretty generic.
Here.
Read me our love horoscope, Dan Hill.
The title is Guardians of the Downtrodden.
Oh, wow. We are social justice leaders. Okay.
The emphasis in this combination is on action. Excitement is essential.
Yes.
If a slump in the relationship is to be avoided, and excitement will usually reawaken dormant interests and slumbering energies. Both of these partners usually need to escape into life experiences rather than away from them. And both need a twin with whom to share such experiences. The importance that that the relationship gives to what may seem to be an external issues, particularly in matters of technique and quality, may lead others to see it as superficial and not terribly serious. Such judgments may ignore the fact that worldly interests do not necessarily preclude soulfulness or spirituality.
Okay. So is that it? Can I see this?
There's another paragraph. It's small.
Okay.
So in the second paragraph, read the next.
Aries eyes.
Your Aries one.
Aries ones have the perfect blend of caution and courage to allow Geminis to have a good time and forget their troubles.
True.
In a Gemini-Aries friendship, no matter what the age difference, Aries finds themselves treated as equals.
True.
A vitally important requirement for them. Geminis, for their part, cannot stand phoniness
True.
In any form and will find their Aries partner unlikely to dissimulate.
Boom.
Whether as friends, mates, or lovers, Geminis and Aries is a combination. In combination, must be careful not to fall afoul of society or of the law. Uh-oh, that means if we are lawbreakers, we're just that much better at it.
Yeah.
An extreme hankering for freedom and an uncompromising ethical stance may manifest as rebellion against any condition perceived as unjust or unfair. The result may be that outsiders view this couple as antisocial.
Yep.
Or even in extreme cases, sociopathic.
Yep.
Yet the relationship tends to work to protect the downtrodden and the weak. When spurred on to action by noble moral sentiments, this duo can have an awesome power.
Boom.
Wow. So that's interesting.
What's the advice?
So the advice here is don't be so moral or condemning. Come down off your white horse. Crusading isn't always appreciated. Cultivate spirituality. Meditate. Now, as you guys may have remembered, at the beginning of this, I came in on a horse.
Yes.
Something to think about.
Wow. I think that's a valid.
So when it says relationships with this one, it says the strengths are united, protective, fair. Weaknesses, antisocial, rebellious, superficial. The best option for this, the type of relationship, is a friendship. The worst option for this is a work friendship, is a work relationship.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, those are some pretty general statements here. The importance that the relationship gives to what may seem to be external issues, particularly in matters of technique and quality, may lead others to see it as superficial and not terribly serious. So what they're saying is that, what we focus on is pointless to everybody else around us, but to us it has value.
No, I thought what that meant was that people could perceive us as like, oh, they're just bullshitting.
Yes, but it's important to us.
Right.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. That's interesting.
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I like being a guardian of the downtrodden.
Of course. I mean, we're social justice warriors.
Yeah.
Regularly.
We fight for you.
We fight for the poor. The poor. Maybe we can, you know, save some birds.
I am not one of you.
You.
But I fight. I fight for Cody Frederick.
I fight for Dad Hill.
Oh, man.
That's funny. That's great, man. That's awesome.
Go to Facebook.com. We have a Facebook group where we put all the articles on and further discuss all the things that we talk about on the podcast. Join that group. It's private. It's a place for Dankodies.
Check it out. Okay, we got one review today. We appreciate it. It's awesome. It's titled Great Listen. 5 stars. And it's by DannyJJ1013. Hilarious entertaining and worthwhile, had me laughing out loud in my office more than once. If we can make somebody laugh more than once, I think we did our job.
That's it. We're here to make you laugh, man.
We're here to let go.
Life's too damn short.
It is too damn short. And just as kind of like I know we're kind of near the end of the episode here, but just as kind of a shout out to all of those people in Las Vegas, we hope the best for you guys. We're sending our love, our good vibes your way.
Yes.
We hope everybody heals properly from this tragedy and we move forward.
And don't be scared. Don't be scared of those little fuckers. F those guys.
Yeah. Be the you want to see tomorrow.
Look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself you're a champion.
Or something that makes you feel positive about yourself. Right.
Because if you don't think you're awesome, who will?
Yeah. Be awesome.
Be awesome.
You're a champion.
You're a fucking champion. Glad you're back.
I'm happy to be back. Thanks for listening to the Dan and Cody podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Dan and Cody podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dan and Cody podcast. Our email is danandcodypodcast@gmail.com. And you can contribute to the podcast by going to patreon.com/dancodypodcast.
Subscribe, bitch!
Everybody play the tough guy to shoot, all right?